Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
So I want to preach to you tonight about a book in the Bible that has so much to do with righteousness. It's absolutely amazing. And so because it's the book of Romans, I decided to title this message, The Roman Road to Righteousness. That would make sense, right? So I want to tell you a little bit about the book of Romans before I begin. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter or epistle to those who were following Jesus in the city of Rome, which was not a nice place to live back in the day. It was the capital of the world's largest empire ever to that date. It's the longest epistle in the New Testament. And not many of us realize that the way the early church fathers put the New Testament together was they took each of the writers and the one who had the most stuff, they would put them first when it came to the epistles. And the longest letter that each one of them had would go first under their name. Well, wouldn't you know that the Apostle Paul was not only the most prolific writer of those epistles, but he had the longest one. And it's the book of Romans, which I'm obviously not going to be able to do it all right now because a lot of college seminaries, they go through a whole semester or a whole year covering the book of Romans, but I'm sure not going to do that because I want you to stay awake. It is a revelatory explanation of why and how we can obtain God's righteousness. Not ours, but the righteousness that comes from God through Jesus Christ. So if you were to count the words, especially in the Greek language, that have to do with righteous or righteousness in the book of Romans, you know what? It appears about 55 times in there. And the general meaning of it, and they all have a little bit different twist depending on how it's being used, but the idea is acquittal. So if any of you have ever been in a courtroom or follow courtroom stories, if someone is found guilty, they go on trial, and if they're found guilty, they're put into punishment, right? Because they are guilty. Or the judge may say, innocent. And if he slams his gavel down and says, you're innocent, you are acquitted. That's what that means. So you are declared to be innocent or not guilty. And that's the word righteousness is kind of a legal term, right? That you're not going to suffer punishment for your sins or your mistakes or the evil that you've done because God has declared you innocent. How does that work? Well, we're going to find out because we're going to look in this letter at how God's righteousness through Jesus Christ is revealed, first of all, in the right beliefs. You must believe in Jesus Christ as the one who makes you righteous, and you can't be righteous on your own. And not only should you believe in that, but because you believe in that, he causes you to change your life and your whole way of thinking and your attitudes and your actions. Everything changes, and we call that sanctification or purification. So you're not only saved, but you're sanctified. And that's why so many people look at someone who's had their life changed by Jesus, and they go, is this the same person? Well, the answer is no. And yes, no, it's not the same, because who's living in there? Jesus. So it's not that person's righteousness anymore, but it's Jesus' righteousness in him. And then the Apostle Paul says this at the end of the book of Romans, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this, not only this book has a lot to do with righteousness, but the whole Bible has a lot to do with righteousness. And so we're going to be on the Roman road to righteousness this evening. And as we travel down this road, Pastor Bobby suggested, and I agreed, that we should post some signposts along the road of righteousness. And the first one of these is faith. So faith is the very first signpost on the road to righteousness. So if they'll put that up there on the slide, that is the first signpost. Can you say signpost? So you're walking down this road, and you're going to have, first of all, faith. In Romans 3, 22 through 25, it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So this is how it works. Let's say you committed a crime that's worthy of death. Maybe you murdered someone and there's a death penalty. And you're there in your jail cell, and someone who's never done anything wrong walks in and says, I love you. I am going to take your place. I am going to die for you, and you're going to go free. That's exactly what happens. Let's give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so that person would be declared to be innocent, even though they really weren't, because someone was willing to die for them. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a youngster, I thought, what is all this Jesus died for me stuff? Well, that's what it is. He is our sacrificial substitute. He paid the death penalty for sin, which was required by God. And although we should have died for our sins, he died for our sins by his own blood. We talk a lot about the blood of Jesus around here because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord. Let's love him again. Thank you, living God. Thank you, living God. So I want you to remember this. We don't get good to get God. We get God to get good. And when the Bible talks about the works of righteousness which we have done, that's not what saves us. But it's by his grace or his work in our lives that we're saved. Because he does the work. So then after he comes in and lives in you, the good God inside of you causes you to be good, better than you could ever be on your own, because it's impossible to be good on your own. But he is good through you. So it's because of him. And a lot of people make this mistake and say, well, I'm going to earn my salvation by doing good stuff, and a lot of it. You know, it's like the more you do, the more credit you're going to get in heaven. The more you do, the more God's going to say, good boy, I'm not going to throw you in hell now. No, that's not the way it works. It's not because of the works of righteousness which you could do. If you could do it, Jesus wasted his time coming to die for us, right? If you can be good on your own, what do you need a Savior for? And one of the worst things you can ever say, or I could ever say, is, you know, hey, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not as bad as all these other people. You know, it's like, that's like you saying, I don't need a Savior. I'm fine. I don't need Jesus. So the worst thing you can say is, I'm a pretty good guy or a pretty good girl. I never understood that. It should be just the opposite. You say, I'm not a good person. The reason Jesus had to die was for my sins. And so I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. And I believe that you took my place so that I could be as good as you really wanted me to be, because I couldn't do it on my own. Amen. All right. So the next signpost we're going to take a look at on the Roman road to righteousness is obedience. And this is the one that this week is about. And in your syllabus, if you notice on the title page there, they quoted a verse out of the book of Romans in chapter 6. And I want you to notice this about Romans chapter 6. That's the one we read to folks who are about to be water baptized, because it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus being just like our personal death to sin, burial in the water grave, and resurrection to rise in a new life. Death, burial, and resurrection. And then he goes on to say this in verse 16. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Think of that. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Now, one of the powerful things about this verse is where it appears. Before Jesus and before your baptism in water and your death, burial, and resurrection in a spiritual sense, you weren't able to choose. You were forced by the powers of evil, by your own sinful flesh, and you were blind through the God of this world, who had blinded your mind to understand the gospel of Christ, and you really couldn't get it. You couldn't understand it on your own. But now that you've had your faith in Jesus and you believed in him and you were buried with him in baptism and you've risen to walk in newness of life, now you can choose. Yeah. Thank God, he says in verse 17. Once you were slaves of sin. Can you say, I was a slave of sin? It's in the past. But now, you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. And if you want to know what the teaching of the apostles is, all you have to do is read in the Bible. Read the stuff that Jesus gave them to teach in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, which is our only record of the history of the church. You will see what the ones he sent had to say about him and about the good news. That's what the word gospel means, right? Good news. And so you can read it for yourself what the apostles preached. They preached exactly what Jesus told them to preach about his death, burial, and resurrection of a fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, how the Lamb of God would shed his blood for the sins of the whole world, and that he would bring salvation to all mankind. So that was the teaching they gave. Now, he says, you are free from your slavery to sin, and, watch this now, you have become slaves to righteous living. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. So I want you to understand, the doing of the righteous things is not possible until you become God's slave and a slave to his system of righteousness. But now you choose, you've got the power to choose. You're not a puppet on the devil's string anymore. You're a puppet on God's string. So remember this, everybody. We're still slaves, but we've changed masters. I used to be a slave to the devil and evil and unrighteousness, but now I'm a slave to God and righteousness. I used to be a slave to lies and falsehoods and the satisfying of my own flesh, but now I'm free because I've chosen to be a slave to the one who gives me freedom. to be all that he wants me to be happy and peaceful and kind and good and so many other wonderful things. So praise God, you're never going to escape freedom. You're never going to escape slavery. The only thing you can do is believe in Jesus and make your choice to follow after him. You say, oh, that's too easy. Well, that's the whole idea. God made this to be real easy for you and I if we'll just plug in to him and allow him to live his life through us. Come on, let's praise him. I can tell you want to. Yes, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. So here's another signpost on the road in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Now, I do want to say right here that there are other signposts along the way in the book of Romans. I'm just kind of picking out a few highlights here and hopefully get you hungry to say, I got to read the rest of those signposts. You know, there's some good stuff in there. But Romans 8, I want to focus on this because the Apostle Paul really focuses on spirit. That's the next signpost. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit here now. So Romans 8, verse 5, we're going to start reading there. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Sounds like you and I, right? Before BC. That's before Christ. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So I guess we could stop right here and ask ourselves, what are we thinking about? Right? So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and? So isn't it all these opposites, man? Evil, good. Unrighteousness, righteousness. Sin, God. Darkness, light. Trouble, peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. I think God proved that to us in the whole Old Testament. Those people, even though they saw miracle signs and wonders, holy smoke, lightning, thunder, sound of a trumpet, Red Sea parting, food in the miraculous provision, food in the wilderness, enemies slaughtered, unbelievable. Sun stood still for them so they could fight their battles. Not only the Red Sea parted, the Jordan River parted, and I can go on and on with all the miracles in the Old Testament. They experienced them, but guess what? They just couldn't do right because they're human. And I think God was trying to show us throughout all the Old Testament that we cannot do it on our own. Yes, you can try to be good, but none of us can be as good as God wants us to be. Right? Now, let's say that God is way up there, three stories tall, and I'm down here, and I go, I want to reach God, so I try to jump as high as I can and do as good as I get, a little bit higher, and I can only get so high, right? So it's not about me trying to get as good as I need to be to please God. It's about God coming down to me and coming inside of me, and he lifts me up. In fact, he comes and lives inside of me, and all of a sudden I'm up there, and I didn't even have to do it. Woo! Praise God. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control it, life and peace. For the sinful nature, always hostile to God, just can't do it. Verse 8 says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never, never, can sometimes please God. Can every once in a while please God. Can 95%? Never. You just can't do it as long as you're controlling your life. But, here's the good news, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Some of you are going, I'm not? All you have to do is choose. It's your choice. If you know Jesus Christ, you've been water baptized by him, and you have his spirit living inside of you, you have so much weaponry. It's so powerful. And you're sitting there like loaded with all these, you know, AK-47s and grenades and knives and guns, and you got them strapped on your back. I mean, you're just loaded for bear, as they say. And the devil comes up to you, and he knows that you don't know this yet. And so he'll keep on tempting you, and he'll get you to do stuff, and your flesh will try to cry out and do the wrong thing. All you have to do is say, hey, wait a minute. God's inside of me. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. Now, this might seem a little weird, but one time I actually had a casket set up in one of my messages, and I put a guy in there, and he was dead. And so I said, now I want you to imagine this guy's dead to sin. So I'd offered him some booze to get drunk, and he just... And I said, now a beautiful woman's going to come by, and she's not exactly dressed godly. He was unaffected. Someone says, hey, dude, you need to lie and get some money here. He didn't care. He was dead. See, you have to reckon, as the King James Version says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. But you're alive to God. So when God's spirit comes by, you go, woo, right? When God's good deeds you want to do for God's sake because God lives in you, woo, and you come alive because of God. That's it. It's a total life change. You are controlled by the Spirit, and if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. See, how can you be a Christian without Christ? How can you be holy without the Holy Spirit? You can't. We need God's Spirit. And verse 10 says, and Christ lives within you. He's actually living in there. You take him everywhere you go. He listens to everything you say. He goes into those not so cool places, and he goes into those really nice places, and he listens and watches everything. I think that knowledge alone would radicalize most of our lives, right? And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Righteousness. Yeah. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful desires urge you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Woo! Lead on, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. So I'd like you to remember this. God's Spirit leads us today, day by day, gives us the power to overcome, live this life-filled, peace-filled, resurrected life, and he resurrects us on that day when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise. The Spirit of God living inside will raise you up, and that's the way you're going to be with the Lord forever. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Come on. All right. The last signpost I want to bring to you tonight is in Romans 12. This road sign of worship is the one I want to bring to your attention. I want you to notice right here that there is a transition in Paul's writings of this letter, and frankly, in most of his letters, he starts with all the explanations of who Jesus is and what he has done and how this all works and what grace is and what, you know, the things that God has accomplished. And he quotes from the Old Testament, a lot of theology. But in nearly every letter, he ends it with something practical. Okay, because of all that God did for you and what you have now become, here's how you should live. Here's what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So some people say, well, Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, if you're reading someone else's letter, it may appear to be that way. He was writing to people who were already saved, who were already resurrected, who were already water baptized, were already spirit-filled, were already following after the Spirit of God instead of their own flesh, were living victoriously over the devil and all of his demons. And then he was telling them, okay, brothers and sisters, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to obey. But you can't do this stuff unless you are a Christian. So these letters are written to Christians, in this case, living in Rome, or Christians living in Ephesus or somewhere. And I just want to throw this in here at no charge. A lot of people say, well, how can people claim to be a Christian and they're living like this, you know, or doing this or saying it? If you, all you got to do is read the epistles. Paul was writing to people just like you and I. Although we had believed in Jesus, we were messing up on many fronts. They were doing many things wrong. And that's why he had to write to them and explain to them about the death, burial, and resurrection. Explain how Jesus is in you now. Explain how now that you didn't do this to become righteous, but he's living in you, the righteous God. And now this is what you can live by if you choose to do so, and you should live by. Yeah. And so, dear brothers and sisters, Romans 12 says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them, your bodies, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Wow. Is the only time you worship then when you come, like on Wednesday night tonight? On Sunday, what we call worship services, is that the only time you're in your body? You're in your body all the time. You worship God all the time with the way you live. Oh, man, this is powerful, right? Truly the way to worship. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of all this. I'm just going to give you a few verses in Romans of the do's and don'ts that Paul gave right after he told him to live this worshipful life. So these are a few of the many, and there's more chapters in Romans that will tell you more, and there's a whole New Testament full of things to do. If you think you're doing pretty good, just start reading a few of these letters, and you'll say, oh, here's one I can work on. Here's one God's going to help me with. Yeah. So he says, do really love one another. Don't pretend to love. Hate wrong things, but hold on to good things. Love with genuine affection. Don't just say you love somebody, like the Apostle John said, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Delight in honoring others. Work hard and serve the Lord. And actually it says in there, with enthusiasm. And then he follows that with, never be lazy. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. Help God's needy people. Practice hospitality. And you say, well, you know, these do's and don'ts aren't so bad. Actually, even the don'ts are pretty good when you think about it. Here's some more, he says in verse 14. Bless and pray for those who persecute you. Don't curse the persecutors. See, that's our natural reaction, right? Well, they did it to me. I'm going to do it to them. They stole my money, I'm going to steal theirs. They shot my dog, I'm going to shoot their dog. Whatever. You know, I mean, that whole payback thing, man. It's in the Westerns, you know. Oh, we're in the West. Anyway. Live in harmony with others. Don't be too proud to enjoy ordinary people's company. Ooh. Don't be hoity-toity. I'm too good for them. I'm not hanging out with these people. No, no, no. You're all just a bag of bones and some flesh and meat. A little dust of the earth, right? Come on, get real. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting nasty now. Don't think you know it all. You know, the more you learn, honestly, the more you learn, the less you realize you do know. You can tell a really educated person who realizes, I don't know everything. I've been wrong so many times now, just another time isn't going to matter. Do everything honorably. Don't pay back evil with more evil. Live in peace with everyone. Woo! That sounds pretty good, right? Leave revenge to God. Never take revenge. Give your enemies food and drink. Boy, this sounds like some stuff Jesus said, doesn't it? Conquer evil by doing good. Do not let evil conquer you. See, you don't have to let it anymore. Your choice. Thank God. So remember this. We give our lives to God because God gave his life for us. Yes, Lord, we worship you. We worship you with our lips. We worship you with our lives. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with Paul's closing prayer for the Romans as our worship team comes. He says here, after writing some of this stuff, he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know, I could write this to you. Because that's how men of God feel about the people of God. They know that who's living inside of them. They know there's potential that's going to come forth and be a glory to God. They're convinced that the good God lives inside of them. You know these things so well, you can teach others all about them. Even so, I can almost see him winking here, you know. I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. What a guy. So let's keep on following the Roman road and the signposts along the way. In this life, all the way to heaven. Let's stand and love the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.